We have an 1876 Studebaker chuck wagon. Studebaker made chuck wagons and wagons long before cars.
Yeah.
And so this dates back to the 1800s, where during the big cattle boom, when ranchers were moving their cattle from central Texas up to mainly the railheads in Kansas. And it was a way to feed cowboys on this long journey up. So there was a cook. He had a chuck wagon hooked to a team. They moved maybe 12 miles a day.
12 to 15, yeah.
Cooked two meals a day.
Yeah, breakfast and supper.
And so this isn't a dying tradition. It's changed because now, instead of moving cattle up to the railheads, they are trucked up there. But we still cook the same way. We are on ranches anywhere from 5 weeks or 5 days to about 5.5 weeks is the longest one we've done. And we feed cowboys while they're working in the spring and the fall, typically.
Yeah.
So it's very big in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri.
New Mexico.
Yeah. And it's expanded a little bit now. Because a lot of times ranches, if they're cooking for cowboys, it'll be out of like a cook shack or a typical kitchen. So I just found the whole chuck wagon thing fascinating.
Being a chuck wagon cook was something that I didn't just dream up and think, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, I'd eat off some old chuck wagons when I was young, and they wasn't some of the greatest cooks in the world. You never told them that because cook get even. But I remember coming out of the Gila the last year I was out there guiding hunters and really not knowing what I was going to do in life and thinking, I would like to find a chuck wagon, you know, and maybe cook for some ranches because I'd worked on ranches. I knew a lot of the cowboys that were at different ranches across the United States. And I thought, I can just call somebody to get my first job, you know, then maybe news will spread. But it was carrying on a tradition and a legacy, you know, that was started back in really the 1870s and really sort of died out in a way in the early 1900s when they stopped pushing cattle up and down the trails so much. But the method in which it took place is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wagon, there was a cook, and then there was hungry cowboys. And there still is today. I tell people today, they'll ask me, they'll say, you're kind of people's dying breed. And it always sort of worries me at first because I don't know what kind of people I am. But then I realize that, and I'll tell them, you can't just see us from the interstate going 70 miles an hour. You know, we get to be in some of the greatest places in the world, feed some of the best people, and we're feeding them better than anybody else. Because when you hang a shingle out there that says, I'm chuck wagon cook, it don't matter if it's 110 degrees or it's minus 15. You're going to do the best that you can do every day, good Lord willing, and you're going to feed cowboys. There's no days off on a ranch. There's no spa days. There's no holidays. There's just get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, start over the next day, and know that it is the best day in the world.
Well, and I will definitely say one of the biggest things that you've taught me is perseverance.
Yeah.
Because you just never know what you're going to get into when you're out there. Most of these ranches are 70 miles from a paved road. And so, ranch cooking is definitely my favorite part of the business.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you don't have self-service in camp. You've got some gorgeous country you're looking up. I mean, we're set up in pastures or canyons. It's just Mother Nature in all her glory.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, you get up 2 o'clock in the morning and people are thinking, that's pretty early, you know.
It is pretty early.
But I've sat around that wagon so many times of a morning by myself with just that old wood stove, Bertha, with a cup of coffee in my hand, and it'd be so quiet. I mean, everything is pitch black, and you sit there. And that's when I learned a very valuable lesson, that if you sit there and you listen to the quiet, it speaks in great volume. Because there was so much that would pass through from my mind, and there ain't a whole lot in there anyway besides smoke, that would reflect on, where was it at? How did I get here? And what am I going to do with it?